Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word teaches us to live our lives with a holy 18 caliber naivete. Now, naivete is being, according to the dictionary, deficient in worldly wisdom or informed judgment. And we all have our various versions of this thing, how we have lived our life with that kind of naivete because we believed in God and we knew He'd take care of us. According to the wisdom of the world, my wife and I never should have had 6 children, and we had plenty of people along the way trying to instruct us accordingly. Oh, 4 is enough. What's wrong with you? Are you trying to repopulate the world? According to all worldly wisdom, we shouldn't have been able to have made it. But we did because we have a God who loves and blesses us. All of us have similar stories and claims. We always thought our family of 8, by the way, was a pretty small family because we were married by a pastor who had a wife and 18 children. So that day, our wedding text, as he was preaching, was Joshua 24, which was delivered to God's people before they entered the promised land, and it's just as relevant today. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This pastor with 18 caliber holy naivete taught us his life and family had been sustained along the way, both physically and spiritually, by God's grace. And he told us, keep a journal of stories of answered prayer. He said, because those will remind you of how God cared for your physical and spiritual needs along the way. Write them down lest you forget God's goodness to you every single day. Consider how God's ancient people were that one day poised to enter the promised land, and how God offered them two kinds of cultures of faith, if you will, a bad one and a good one. And then he said, choose the saving faith. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, he said, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And that, my friends, is another message that is just as relevant as we sit here today as it was back then, eons ago. The Old Testament and our world are filled with stories of those who chose not the culture of faith, but the culture of death. And it seems that our culture right now is continuing to choose and to spiral out of control in some of its choices. Remember King Ahaz? God sent his prophet Isaiah to him who said to Ahaz, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. And he was not. Ahaz did not believe. He did not listen to God's word. In his wickedness, he introduced pagan idolatrous practices into the culture, and he died in wickedness. And his story really was in large part the story of ancient Israel and its apostasy. Is it the story of today once again being retold? Is this a warning to any of us here today? When Jesus came to his own hometown, Matthew writes, he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. And at one point, in deep concern, Jesus said about all the people that he was now there ministering to, recorded in the Gospel of Luke, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" In his letter to the Romans, Paul recalls the story of ancient Israel's unbelief. Quote, "Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith." One famous Bible commentator says of today's text that, quote, "A more complete and accurate definition of faith could not be devised than that given here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Apparently, some people didn't like the fact that the translators of the Authorized Version depended upon Thomas Aquinas' substance, which the New King James Version follows through on, and they've tried to clarify that a bit more, even though substance can be understood properly. The ESV, similar to the NIV, puts it this way: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The words assurance and conviction are subjective words, are they not? They rest on something what within us, but those words are built on something outside of us, which in Latin the theologians said is extra nos, outside of us. Something outside me inspires trust and confidence, not my own faith. I don't live off of my own faith. That basis for faith is described just a chapter later in chapter 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." In our newly married lives, my wife and I learned to live our lives with 18 caliber holy naivete, just like we all do, trusting in Christ to sustain us. It was a deathly hot August. We had loaded up our U-Haul van. We were ready to head back to that last year at seminary. In the back was a 25 cubic foot frozen freezer with all of the vegetables that we had grown in the garden, stuck away in this hot, hot sun, but sealed and protected for a while at least. We packed everything up, and with $25 to our name, we left. With no job, no home waiting for us, we were going and were wondering what were we going to do. 18 caliber holy naivete. We knew somehow God would provide. We made it to Milwaukee, stayed at a friend's place. They fed us. We plugged in our freezer. We got our vegetables back. They'll stay with us. And then the next day, I went looking for jobs. Made one call to the seminary. Are there any postings? By the way, one just came in, and they're looking for a senior vicar, and they have a home that they're going to provide with it. So by the end of that one day, not only had all of our things, all of our needs been taken care of, but when we drove up to the church and looked at the home we were going to be staying in, we realized that this was a mansion that had been built by Landon Stone. The owner of the local Landon Stone quarry had built it by today's prices, probably a $500,000 home. That's the home that we spent the last year of our seminary in. Now, if God takes care of sparrows daily and our daily needs of body, how much the more so has he not taken care of all of our spiritual needs in sending his Son to redeem us? Jesus Christ went to the cross and rose Easter morning to declare to us his love and forgiveness for all your sins. when God the Holy Spirit through his word calls us to trust in his care, to believe in the forgiveness of sins that he has won for us, to have faith in his promises. He calls us to live our lives with holy naivete, because while it may not reflect the economy of this world, the substance of things hoped for in his Son and the evidence of things not seen, these acknowledge the promises of God sworn on behalf of himself. God can only swear by himself. And when God swears by himself, he who does not lie, his promises are absolutely dependable. Or as the writer to Hebrews earlier on in this chapter put it, this provides for us, quote, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Why? Because it is grounded in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the promises that God himself spoke way back in the garden as soon as our forefathers had fallen into sin. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your indescribable grace for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments that through these we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word and through the Holy Sacraments day by day establish our faith until we at last obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.